The sin begins from the inside. The spirit is killed by pride. You see, Satan was an angel and from the highest level of angelic orders. He was from the cherubims. Cherubims are the highest level in the angelic orders. From the highest level, he went down to the lowest of the lowest levels because of pride. That's what killed Satan, pride. Pride is the killer of the spirit. And this is what Satan tries to do with the Christians. To get to the spirit and kill it, he engulfs that person with self-pride. When that pride is not dealt with, and it goes out to the outside, it deforms the image from the son and makes it a slave. And then what happens eventually? You become paralyzed, dead. So the pagan world was dead. And the Israelite, the firstborn son to the Almighty God, was deformed. The son became a slave. The image is deformed. So the Lord Jesus, who spoke with authority, because he is the king, he is the ruler, he is God, the creator. He came to bring the image back once again to the way he created it from the very beginning, the image of the son, not a slave. He cleansed the deformity, leprosy, and brought the image back to clarity, the son. And with the dead, with one word, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Because the word not only says, but it does. The difference between God's word and our words is this. We say, but nothing happens. We just say. We just talk. We become a noise pollution quite often. But when God speaks, things change. We speak, nothing happens. The word has authority. It says, and things change. And God saw it was dark, Genesis. And God said, let there be light. And light came on board. I can go out now when it's dark, and I can say, from now till kingdom comes, let there be light, let there be light. My words are nothing. Nothing will change because they don't have authority. The only time my word will have authority when my will goes hand in hand with the will of God. Meaning when I do His will, not my will. When I do His word, not my word. When I live His way, not my way. Then it is God talking now because He's engulfed me. But if I am filled with pride, God cannot live in those who are boastful of themselves. God only dwells in those who are down to earth, humble. Then when God engulfs you, when you talk, He's talking. Now the centurion said to the Lord Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. And he called him Lord. Amazing. Somebody that has never seen Jesus Christ of Nazareth, somebody that is not a Jew or of the Israelite nation, believed in him before even getting to him. Yet his own people crucified him. And isn't it the case? Your own family goes against you, but total strangers worship you and adore you. Isn't it? Isn't it the case? The very people whom you have given your life up for them, they see you as their enemy. But strangers which you've done nothing for, they'll come and say, we love you. But those who are close, family members, they say, we hate you. He said, I'm not worthy to come under my roof. Just say a word because I'm under authority. When I say to this soldier, go, he goes. He listens. When I say to this soldier, come, he runs, coming. Just say the word. I believe my servant is going to be healed. The Lord marveled at this. He was astonished. He said, incredible. I have never seen such faith in all of Israel. So you Israelite, whom you claim to be the only chosen people of God, this pagan man surpassed you all. This pagan worshiper surpassed all of you who claim to be worshiping the true God. And it is the same thing today. The Lord is fair. And it is the same thing. History is repeating itself once again. Christians who claim they worship the only true divine God are crucifying him again. And those who are total strangers coming to Christ, surpassing the faith of those who were born in a Christian family. Non-Christians come today, they have such faith for the Lord more than all those who lived Christianity all their life. He only came the other day and overrides all of your faith put together. Don't ever be boastful that you're a Christian and God chose you, like the people of the Old Testament thought they were the chosen people of God. God chooses those who are willing to live for Him, not for themselves. God never differentiates. Never. Some people say the New Testament was written in Greek. Well, if you're going to be boastful about that, I can be more boastful than you. I'll say to you, well, the New Testament was spoken in Aramaic, my language. So which one comes first? Christ spoke in Aramaic, didn't speak in Greek. So he's my fellow. That is childish. Childish argument. Stop being boastful. Live humility. Live self-denial. Live the Lord, not you. Live the Lord. I have authority. And as long as I'm under authority, that centurion, whose authority was he under? Caesar. Augustus Caesar, the king. He said, as long as I am under the authority of Caesar. And what does that mean, under the authority of Caesar? As long as I am adhering to the laws and the rules of Caesar, my king, whatever I say has authority. And I believe that you are also under authority, Jesus, as the human side, as the Son of Man. I know you are under authority. Whose authority are you under? God. And as long as you are under God's authority, whatever you say goes. So as long as the human side of you is under the authority of the divine side of you, whatever you say as the human, God is talking. You see, I bring two people. And I bring a dead person. I place that dead person in front of the two. Both of them, I ask them to say the Our Father prayer on this dead person. One will come and say the Our Father, nothing happens. The other one will come and say the Our Father, and the dead rises. Why? It's the same prayer. It's the same words invoked. But there is a difference. The one who said it and the dead did not rise, he said it his way. But the one who said it and the dead rose, he said it, God said it through him. And the only time God will say it through you is when you are not living for you, but living for him. That was the secret of Jesus the man. He was fully submissive to the divine. Christ, perfect God, perfect man at the same time. That perfect man was fully submissive to that perfect God that was in the person of Christ. When that perfect man was fully submissive to the divine perfect God, whatever the man said, it was God saying. Because the man never lived for himself. Everything he said, everything he did, every step he took, it was to glorify the divine, not the human side. And if we as human beings live the way Jesus the man lived, we will do the same thing he did. When you say to the dead, rise, they will rise. If you are fully submissive, like Jesus. That's the secret. Why the world is against God? The world is full of pride. Self-pride. When a person has too much pride in them, unfortunately, something very, not very nice comes into their life called jealousy. And when jealousy kicks in, it's very destructive. Very destructive. My son, my daughter, say to yourself this, I could be wrong. Then I will give the chance to say to my dad, I'm sorry, because I could be wrong. Don't be stubborn. That's another thing that pride brings, stubbornness. Very ugly. They're all ugly. See, the picture, the image is deformed. Don't be stubborn. Because if you remain stubborn, you will hurt yourself at the end, 100%. So say to yourself, I could be wrong, and I need to apologize for maybe I was wrong. There is absolutely no shame, no humiliation when you say sorry. You will not lose your stars. You will not lose your position. You will not lose your fame. In fact, when you come and humble yourself before God, it is then and then only you receive glory and honor. When you humble yourself before God, I beg all of us, I'm saying this to me before I say it to you. I beg all of us as one family in Christ, as true Christian believers, as true Christian followers of the only true living Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, I beg you, we must beg the Lord through His grace to give us this gift of humility, where I come in absolute humility and I say to my brother, to my sister in Christ, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I apologize because maybe I was wrong. Maybe I have crossed the line with you. And if I had offended you knowingly or unknowingly, I apologize for both. Forgive me. When you speak this language, Satan is decimated. Trust me. Well, don't trust me, trust the Lord. But it's the Lord speaking through this piece of wreck. Satan is decimated. The moment Satan is decimated, pride is gone. The spirit goes back to that very initial image. You become the son. Believe me, when you become the son, you don't need to search for Jesus Christ anymore, because Jesus by then had already found you. He will come to you. You don't need to look for him. He finds. We can't find him. We're not that smart. But he finds us. Be humble, my child. Humility has got nothing to do with you being right or wrong. Forget about that. We are not here to prove who's right and who's wrong. We are here to live for Christ, not for ourselves. Father Daniel, where is he? Oh, he doesn't like me or something? Come on, Father. Come here, Father Daniel. Put your hands together, Father Daniel. He's a priest. I'm a priest. But when we say he's a priest, I'm a bishop. This is administrative roles. But the rank is one, priesthood. In priesthood, we are one. And I prove that to you. The very holy mass which Father Daniel is celebrating today, it is exactly the same mass I celebrate as a bishop. If I was higher than him in the priesthood, I should have celebrated something much more magnificent, much more bigger. But it's the same words, same. But in administrative roles, I'm a bishop, he's a priest. His jurisdiction defers to my jurisdiction, and then the archbishop, and then the patriarch or the pope. Each one has a different administrative role, but the rank is one, priesthood, all one. The pope celebrates the same mass as a simple, humble priest. There is no difference. If I come, therefore we are now brothers in Christ. We share the same rank, and it's the rank of the Lord Jesus. So if I come, we're family now. And I prove that Father Daniel, far from you, huh? That, I love you. That Father Daniel is wrong. And then I prove it. I was really preparing myself for this court case. You know, I was ready to say and prove it before the whole church that it was Father Daniel's fault. And it wasn't mine. And I proved it in front of everyone with evidence that it was his fault, not my fault. I have failed miserably as a bishop. His failure is my failure. His success is my success. If we both live for Christ, not for ourselves. Yes? I love you, Father Daniel. And I pray that I'm always wrong and you're always right.